Gonzalez. At 8, Abe Proctor and Joe Uris hosts the Joe and Abe Talk Radio Show. At 9, an alternative radio, Alan Moss speaks on the case for socialism. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11 on Stage and Studio, host D-May Roberts features actress and author Lauren Weedman talking about her new book, Misfortune, fresh perspectives on having it all from someone who is not okay. And at 11:30, on Art Focus, host Andre Middleton interviews Carl Anilon, Oregon arts professional and painter who has been in the bands Hell Cows, Ape Grave, Plastic Horn Devil, Egg Napper, Old Paint, Jagula, and Hail. Thanks, Cable members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kabu.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
Stay tuned now for an interview with documentary director and producer Jeremy Monroe. He speaks with KABU reporter Jamie Haddad about his film, Upriver, which tells the story of Willamette River conservation efforts throughout Oregon. Good night, Ken.
Good night, Rosalyn. Good night, Mike.
KABU News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Upriver tells the story of Willamette River conservation efforts throughout Oregon. Director and producer Jeremy Monroe spoke to KABU reporter Jamie Haddad about creating the documentary film and how people can get involved in the river conservation movement.
I'm here today with Jeremy Monroe of Fresh Waters Illustrated. Thanks so much for being with us today, Jeremy.
Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about Fresh Waters Illustrated and how it got started?
So we're a nonprofit organization. We're based in Corvallis, and we have a mission of raising public awareness of freshwater and life, science, and conservation, and we do that mostly through documentary films, media, visual media, photography.
You have a documentary that you guys just worked on. What's the story behind it?
So we're just starting to release a new documentary that we've been working on for about the last 5 years, actually, called Upriver. And it's a documentary really on the Willamette River system and what I think of as sort of the Oregon brand or the Oregon style of watershed restoration.
What makes the Willamette River so unique?
In some ways, the Willamette is like a lot of other big rivers across the country. There's a lot of tributaries. There's a lot of people that live along it, a lot of towns, a lot of agricultural land, a lot of timberlands. All that human use and activity has certainly sort of had an impact on the Willamette River system, and certainly the Willamette main stem river over decades and centuries, really. But in some ways, I think it is a unique river. It has these really pure, pristine headwater sources in the Cascades, rivers like the McKenzie, North Santa Ana, the Clackamas, that have really amazing, clean, cold water that just gushes out of the ground from big volcanic aquifers at the crest of the Cascades. And so that does really, makes tributaries like the McKenzie and the Clackamas just beautiful, especially when you get up into the National Forest up near the headwaters. But that also, the quality of that water comes really all the way down to Portland. And without starting with some of that really high water quality, the Willamette wouldn't be nearly, potable or swimmable, or without that really high quality water to start with. Yeah, the water quality in Portland, for example, wouldn't be nearly as high.
So you mentioned you've been working on this project for 5 years now. What's gone into that journey?
A lot of the work that we did, partly sort of fundraising and getting help to make this film, but a lot of the work was really just capturing these projects that were happening all over the valley, from the headwaters all the way up to Portland, things like the work of watershed councils, doing streamside restoration or improving habitats in rivers all along these tributaries, the work of land trusts that are, in some cases, working on these on the main stem Willamette River and the floodplain, trying to sort of make it more sort of sponge-like and more of a healthier floodplain in terms of habitat. And then all the way into the city of Portland, where there's a lot of really progressive projects, both by, again, watershed councils and certainly the city of Portland, to really make that sort of concrete jungle work a little better from a watershed perspective.
What sort of specific conservation efforts are we talking about here? Is there anything that stands out from the documentary or just from your research into it?
A lot of the work really falls into three categories, I think. One of those is just improving water quality. So, for example, you know, rain that falls on the streets of Portland then goes down into storm drains, and sometimes it can go right into the river, and then it still goes on to the water treatment plant, and from there would go on to the river. So some of that work, for example, captures that rainwater and puts it in a bioswale or a little rain garden where it doesn't go into the river. Immediately, it really goes into the groundwater and soaks in and goes through what's really kind of a natural filtering process. So that's an example of improvement of the quality of the water that's in the river and the tributaries of the Willamette. Another kind of type of project is just the improvement of habitat. So something we saw a lot in the film, in projects that we covered on the film, were the addition of taking big logs and basically putting them back in rivers, creating as close as possible to what were sort of natural log jams. That was something that scientists over 20 years ago started to recognize was kind of missing from some of our Northwest rivers, certainly the Willamette. Getting that back in the streams really helps build up the stream bed habitat, and things like gravels that salmon need to spawn in, or lamprey, and also sort of nursery habitat for young fish and insects and things. That improvement of that in-stream habitat, and then a third project, I think the third type of restoration that we saw were sort of regrowing the forests of these along the rivers and tributaries of the Willamette. Those trees do a lot of things, but a couple big important things are, one, they shade the rivers and kind of keep them cool, and then they're also strengthening those stream banks so you don't have quite as much erosion of, let's say, a farm field or rural land, much erosion of those stream banks into the river, creating kind of a muddier river. That's kind of the three things we saw was, you know, the projects to work on sort of the stream-side forests, projects that work on the quality of the water, and then projects that work on the actual in-stream habitat that fish and other aquatic life use. And I guess I would add, there's also a couple examples in the film of actually reintroducing species like bull trout and Oregon chub into habitats that have been improved, but that those fish just can't get back to now.
What would you say are some of the biggest threats that the Willamette River in particular faces?
I guess something that probably people are hearing a lot in the news about lately, last 6 months or so, is the Portland Harbor site that's still got a lot of chemical contamination that's sort of laden in those sediments, and trying to figure out how to clean that up and if we can clean that up. That's going to be a big one. You know, every salmon that spawns anywhere in the Willamette or out-migrates to the ocean has to pass that area twice, not to mention things like lamprey, sturgeon, and other migratory species. So that's really, you could think of it as a bottleneck for the whole entire Willamette River. And another thing that we have a lot of work to do on are the dams. There's, you know, over a dozen big dams all throughout the Willamette River system that there is a lot of thought and work going into trying to make those dams work as well as they can for salmon and get those fish up to their spawning grounds. But we still have a lot of work left to do, and there is the question of if we'll be able to do what we hope to do with those dams.
This film premieres in 2 days at the Environmental Film Festival in Washington, D.C. What do you hope audiences will get out of the film?
One of the things we're most excited about is really sharing the Oregon model of watershed restoration with people, you know, on the East Coast, who what we do here in Oregon is really pretty advanced. And coming from other areas of the country, I think a lot of folks look at what we're doing here as pretty progressive in terms of just how much investment and effort and organization goes into our watershed restoration movement and our watershed conservation work. After this D.C. premiere, we're excited to be sharing it more here in Oregon and around the Willamette Valley, everywhere from, you know, small towns up on the tributaries, all the way down to Portland, and be really sharing it as much as we can. We're working on making a classroom version of the film. Even for Oregonians that live here, this is sort of our frame of reference. If you read the paper or, you know, listen to the radio, you probably hear, you know, about salmon and salmon conservation a lot. You may have heard the term land trust or watershed council. You've probably heard of the Willamette River Keeper. It's hard to go out to these places like a farm field where they're doing this work, or way up in the national forest where they're getting logs back into rivers to help fish habitat. Even to be, you know, out on the river, there are a lot of people don't spend a lot of people haven't been sort of canoeing on the river or boating. So that's really what we hope this film does, is not only take you to the river as a place, as an ecosystem, take you to those projects that are happening and that have been happening and that will continue to happen that are all over the watershed, really aimed at reviving this place as an ecosystem, and then also to take you under the water with a bull trout or a Chinook salmon or a western pond turtle to help people see these species that all this work is at least partially intended to help out.
If people want to find out more about the documentary screenings in town, where's the best place to go for that?
You can go to our website, upriver.org, and that's where we're going to be listing local events, and we're really inviting people who want to have a screening to contact us and schedule us, and there's a way to do that through the website. We're really inviting folks to go to the website, schedule a screening, and then we'll be making the film more available this spring to those who want DVD copy or their own personal copy of it. We'll also be working on an academic version to get into classrooms.
I wish you all the best at the film festival and with this project.
I think our hope is that, people that see this film, especially Oregonians, will kind of have a better sense of awareness of this world of watershed conservation and kind of how lucky we are and how, ambitious we are in Oregon as to how we've done this. We've really set kind of a national standard, and we are looked at as a national model for how to do this. So I think the hope is that for everyone who sees this film to gain a better appreciation for that, and hopefully a sense of pride for this is one of the things that we do really well here in Oregon is take care of our rivers, and certainly we have a long way to go on all of our rivers, and we have lots of work yet to do, but we've set a pretty good pace, and hopefully we can keep it up.
How can people get involved in the different conservation efforts? Where's help needed and who could use an extra hand?
No matter where you are in the valley, there's probably a watershed council, a local watershed council, for example, the Johnson Creek Watershed Council or the Mary's River Watershed Council. There's almost 30 of those, I think, just in the Willamette Basin alone. And there's the Willamette River Keeper that's also based in Portland that I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with. All of those organizations, in addition to land trust and some of the cities and counties, are always looking for volunteers. So it's usually not hard to find, if you do some looking, to find your local watershed organization, the Willamette River Keeper, a land trust that you live near that needs your help and wants your help. All of these organizations are nonprofits for the most part, and so they also need financial help. They need donors. They need support. And then if you own land along a creek, thinking about, or actually if you live anywhere in the watershed, thinking about what's going on your lawn, thinking about what's, going down your drains and your sinks, all of that does end up in the river. And so being cautious about that. And then if you happen to own, if you happen to own land that's along a creek or a bigger body of water, there may be some work you can do in partnership with, for example, a watershed council or a land trust to make that habitat as good as it can be for anything from a lamprey to a turtle to a frog or to a salmon. The way we say it in the film is we all live upriver, and certainly we do. Whether you live five stories up in an apartment building or you have a farm out on the floodplain, there's things we can all be doing for this river and, making it as good as it can be for our kids and their kids.
Thank you so much, Jeremy Monroe, for speaking with us today.
Thank you so much, Jamie.
That will do it for the KBOO Evening News. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Laurelhurst Theater and Pub, Portland's neighborhood theater since 1924. Independently owned and operated, featuring modern, independent, and classic films, microbrews, pizza, and salads. Located at East Burnside and 28th in Portland. LaurelhurstTheater.com. It's 5:58 p.m. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next on KBOO, it's Labor Radio. Help support KBOO Community Radio by donating your car, truck, motorcycle, ATV, motorhome, trailer, boat, or other type of vehicle. We'll transform your car into resources for unserved and underserved communities. free training, recording equipment, and great programming for all of KBOO's listeners. Donating your vehicle is easy. All you need to do is call our toll-free number and schedule a free, convenient pickup time. We can pick your car up nearly anywhere, even from the repair shop. Make sure you have the title to your vehicle. The tow facility will provide you with a donation receipt. For more information, call our toll-free number, 877-KBOO-123. That's 877-526-6123. Or go to our website, kboo.fm/vehicle.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Hi there, good afternoon. Welcome to KBOO 90.7's Labor Radio Hour. I am your host, Stephanie Patricio. So glad to have you here. Hope you're having a great day, afternoon. If you're just starting your shift, we're glad that you can join us. Today, we're going to be talking with Chelsea, who is an organizer slash volunteer with Familia Unida's campaign against boycotting Driscoll. Chelsea, do we have you on the phone?
Yes, I'm here, and thank you so much for having me tonight, Stephanie.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well. I'm actually here in Crescent City, California, and Ramon Torres and Lázaro Matamora are in the next room talking to